Wrestling's biblical. You read the account of Jacob, right?
Yep.
He wrestled with God. And apparently the Lord knows some footlocks too. I mean, he came out limping for the rest of his life. Anything for the blessing of God.
Yep.
Let me put this on first. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25:14. I'd like to talk to you about yet another parable, the parable of the talents. And I'm going to squish that in also with the parable of the pounds in Luke 19. We're not going to read Luke 19 just for the sake of time, because they're very similar. I'm just going to point out a couple of differences, but you do have the chapter, Luke 19, and it's verse 12 to 24, 27 is the other parable of the pounds, just so you can flip back and forth, if you want to be looking at those differences when I mention them. I'm going to read Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I am not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. He shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I read that last verse, not because I can very well explain to you exactly what it means, the outer darkness. Maybe if you press me after the meeting, we can talk about it. But I'm not here to get deep into some doctrinal things or whatever, but I do want to preach the main point of this passage, which is getting ready for God's kingdom. Being a profitable servant, being a profitable Christian, someone who is not just sitting around, someone who's not lazy like in the parable, but someone who is working diligently to bring profit to the kingdom of God. The parallel passage, like I mentioned, in Luke 19, 12 to 27, is the parable of the pounds. Very similar in this, but in this parable, there's 10 servants, and they each get 1 pound each. That's one difference. In this one, they all get different sorts of talents. One of them gets 1, one of them gets 5 talents, another one gets 2 talents. In Luke 19, they all get 1 pound each. All right, so it's sort of more, it's more equal. Also in Luke 19, there is no mention of the distribution according to ability. The master doesn't say, I gave each of you 1 pound depending on your abilities and skills. No, obviously not, because everyone's getting the same thing. So it's not according to ability in Luke 19. Another thing to note is pounds. Pounds and talents are weights. Okay, when it says talent, it's not talking about having a talent of singing. It's talking about a weight, an amount of gold or silver. Same thing with pound. Pound is not talking about like a pound like we understand it. It's a different sort of weight. Other people call it a denarii or something like that. But these are weights. That's the point here in both passages. And pounds are significantly smaller weights than talents. A talent is a pretty hefty weight. In Luke 19, they all start with the same thing. They all have 1 pound, and then they end differently. Okay? Everyone starts with 1 pound, and then one of them multiplies it by 10. One of them multiplies it by 5, another one by 2. No, the other one doesn't multiply it at all. Sorry. That's why you have the other passage. In Matthew 25, everyone starts with different things, but they all basically gain the same at the end. Okay? The guy with 5 talents, yes, he got 10 talents, but he basically just doubled it. And the guy with 2 talents ended with 4 talents, also doubling it. So that's very interesting, just a couple of things to point out. And the final difference, maybe there's a couple of small ones, but main differences is Luke 19. It mentions citizens. They hated their Lord. The Lord says, I'm going to go take a journey. I'm going to leave behind these pounds, occupy till I come, in other words, and I'm going to go. But they make a point in saying the citizens hated their Lord. They did not want him to rule over them. Those are the basic differences. The way I see it, the way I think this is how it's trying to teach it between the two, is the talents, the parable of the talents is talking about gifts, abilities. It's talking about God gave all of us different things. We have different advantages. We have different talents, different gifts, and therefore we can do different things. We're all different people. Right? Just like in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, but all these worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Right? In the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is gifts. The gifts of the spirit, he's dividing. The spirit gives different gifts to everybody, and usually multiple gifts to different people. We all have different things, different personalities, okay? And so with these different gifts, we're expected to use these abilities and use it for the Lord. That's what the Lord is doing in Matthew 25. In this parable, he's giving out these talents depending on their gifts. I see he has this. I'm going to give you this. Do something with it, okay? So you have gifts for a reason. It's to serve the Lord. And the other one in the pounds, it's talking more about diligence, hard work, because everyone has the same thing. And both of these are true in our lives. We're all different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. We all have different gifts. We all have different advantages in life. But at the same time, we're all sort of in the same playing field. We're all expected to bring something to the Lord. And also many times, those who have less gift bring more than those who have more gift. Sometimes, oftentimes, we see that a lot. Those who tend to be very gifted, very eloquent, tend to do nothing with it for the Lord. Maybe they do something great about it in this world. They start a big business. But it's like what Paul said in Corinthians, right? Not many wise, not many, you know, eloquent, not many noble, not many have you know, done something for God. Has God chosen? He's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Why? because God doesn't like wise people, because God doesn't like eloquent people. No, it's just this is how it ends up many times. There's not, out of all the apostles, you know, there was only one apostle Paul. He was kind of different from the rest. Very, very intelligent man. And the rest were, a lot of them, fishermen and simple, more simple men. They were called ignorant men. But this is a very interesting thing to me, these two parables. You need to do something with what you have. There is an emphasis on hard work. An emphasis on diligence. You, even if you have 1 pound, you can multiply it by 10. That's pretty incredible. You can multiply it by 5 like the other one. So that was pretty significant to me. Just trying to lay down a framework between these two parables and basic things that I see in here. This teaching, basically, we need to be servants that are profitable for God's kingdom. He's expecting something from us. He left us here for a reason, and it's to be profitable servants. It's not to enjoy our time, to be comfortable. Those are all side benefits that maybe come along the way, but we need to be very diligent in serving Him, using what we have, using our advantages that we have to bring more fruit to God, and making sure that we don't rely so much, in a sense, on our talent, but also remember, it's going to require a lot of hard work, a lot of diligence, and don't just coast. I know some people who are talented, they can do just as much, maybe, as your average Christian. But that individual can actually do a lot more because of their talent, because of their skill, because of their gifts. Paul, I would assume, was a very talented man. And that's why he labored more abundantly than the rest of the apostles. That's clear in the Bible. He labored more abundantly. And then when he was in conference with them, they added nothing to him in terms of new revelations, in terms of insights in the scriptures, and that's how I understand it. He was an exceptional Christian because that was a man that did both. He multiplied tenfold, like in the parable of the pounds. He had something, and he's going to work hard. Labored more abundantly, but he was also a very talented man. When you have those two, doesn't matter in any sort of thing in life, I like to watch sometimes UFC and stuff like that, and it's the same concept. A lot of times there's guys, really strong fighters, good fighters, and they always say, I wasn't the best, I wasn't the most talented, but I worked hard. But every so often you get the greatest of all time, and that's because he was extremely talented and dedicated and a hard worker. You need both. And so I think that's a strong exhortation in these parables of using what we have and not relying on our talents, on our gifts, and just coasting through life and just getting the bare minimum done. Talented people have a very eloquent way of doing that, you know. You can get just as much done as the rest and look like you're working hard when you're not working hard. And I'm not going to stand here and say, no, we're a bunch of untalented. I think there's some talent in here. I think there's some intelligent people in here. I think there's some eloquent people in here. I think there's some real skilled people here, and you need to use what you have 100%.
Amen.
One thing I see in Luke that was a difference, the people hated the Lord. They said, we don't want this guy. Mm-hmm. Very interesting situation. The Lord says, I'm leaving these pounds to my servants, and I'm going to go and receive a kingdom, and I'm going to come back. We all know what that's picturing, right? Christ is coming back. He left, and he's coming back, okay? Around these servants, there's a bunch of disgruntled, you know, mean people that are saying, no, come on, we don't want this guy. And that, I think of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. I think of us in this world, you know. Not everybody is going to want this Lord to be coming back. Most won't. Right? There's 10 servants, and out of the 10 servants, there's, I don't know how many people in this city. A lot of people. Right? The majority do not love the Lord. That's just the case. Right? We live in this world. You walk in the street. Even people who call themselves Christians will report you to the police for doing something that's biblical. Right? I was talking to Corey about that the other day. Man, that's the world we live in. And it's going to be hard. I'm assuming it was hard for those servants to get, to accumulate wealth, to multiply the pound that they were given, to do something, for the Lord, especially that guy that multiplied it by 10 in a city that hates their Lord. Who are you working for? Hey, I'd like to exchange this pound. Oh yeah, yeah. What do you think about Trump? What do you think about this, that? I've always joked with my wife about, you know, if we move to, what's it called, that state where it's like 99% Mormon,
Utah.
I was like, man, it'd be pretty hard to get anything done over there, get a job, get an apartment, do anything, because they're like, are you Mormon? I mean, I'm assuming, or how about those countries where it's like 99% Muslim in Africa? There's a place called Mauritania. It's like 99 point something Muslim. And those aren't the Muslims you see in New Jersey or something in the mall. These aren't peaceful Muslims. How hard is it to get something done within a society that hates the Lord? And this is the context of that parable in Luke 19. And this is our context. This is our situation, right? Another thing that I thought was interesting is the reward comes when Christ comes. When the Lord finally comes back with his kingdom, that's when it's judgment time. That's when it's reward time. And I just thought that was interesting. I'm not exactly sure if this is 100% true, but that tells me that after you die, it's possible you're still gaining rewards based off of the things that you did. I mean, I think that, you know, there's going to be rewards if I did a good job with my daughters, and even if I pass away and they're living a life for Christ and they're producing fruit, and that's a product of hard work, Lord willing, that we put in. I think of, you know, how many times, in Hebrews 11 where it says about Abel that his testimony is still speaking to us today. You know, it's very interesting. But Christ, when he comes, not when you die, is when you get your rewards. Okay, let's sign the contract. Let's finish this up. You get your rewards. When Christ comes is when you're going to get, when we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ together. Rewards, according to verse 24, our rewards will be according to the fulfillment or neglect of God's specific commands, right? The Lord gave specific directions to these servants, and depending on how they reacted to this command is how they got rewarded. Two of them followed the commands. One of them said, oh no, I'm just going to do my own thing. And there's not much wiggle room with that. The Lord at the end is going to judge us exactly according to what we did and how we fulfilled his commands. And I think that, you know, it's something we all know, but I think it's going to be a lot more shocking to us than we're thinking. I think it's going to be a real shocker. I think we're going to lose out on some rewards, not, you know, some works that we did that we think, wow, that was good, and you know, that was a blessing, and we might be shocked in the end. Some things are going to get burned up, and some things we're going to get rewarded for that we forgot we even did. It's going to be very interesting, the judgment seat of Christ, but it's going to be exact. It's going to be clear, and he's going to judge us way more clear than we've ever experienced in our lives. It's going to be a shocking moment, and I think it was a shocking moment for the servant in this parable, in both parables. Oh, Lord, he comes up thinking, you know, I got my argument ready. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, He's merciful. You know, I'm his child. You know, I'm his servant. And man, was he shocked. He didn't even admit or confess to why he didn't do anything for the Lord. He has this sort of argument of, you know, I was scared, I have a lot of respect for you. And the Lord says, no, no, no. The exact judgment. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly why you didn't do that. Don't make excuses. And he's going to surprise you with that judgment. You're lazy and you're evil. That's pretty shocking. That's pretty hard. I think we're going to be a little bit more shocked. I think that thought should motivate us to be a little bit more fearful in our walking, in our serving the Lord, a little bit more zealous, a little bit more, let me be extra careful in, you know, being a little bit more fruitful, because it might not turn out the way I think it turns out in the end. I might have this false conception, this false idea of what it's going to be like, and you're going to be shocked, like this servant was shocked. So I think it's important for us to understand that God is just and God is going to judge us exactly. I think it's impressive that those in this parable who had more talents, those with five and two, they actually did something with what they had. And the one with the least amount, the one with one talent, was the one who didn't do anything. Like I mentioned, it seems to me, like in my perception in this world, those who are the most talented usually, those with the most advantages usually do less. And those with nothing, wow, they impress us. And this is very impressive here, that those that had five talents, those that had two talents, they weren't comfortable. They didn't say, oh, five talents is a lot, you know, maybe I'll get one more and call it a day, you know. They didn't coast with their wealth. They didn't coast with the advantages that they had in their job. No, they took it seriously and they doubled what they had. And I just think that that's impressive, and I also think that that's how it should be, at least. Those with most should do big things. You have talents, don't be overly humble like Moses, you know. I don't got nothing, you know. Wait a second, weren't you mighty in words and deeds? And weren't you someone who could speak? Oh, I can't do nothing, I don't know who I am. Some of us are a little too, you know, it's false humility. You can't be too humble for God. You can't be too humble to where, okay, now you've crossed the line and now it's an evil humility. No, humility's always good, but some of us have deceived ourselves into thinking that we're worth nothing, that we have nothing. I'm just going to, you know, warm the seat. No, you have something. You have something. And some of you are extremely talented, and I want to encourage you, like the first two servants in here who had five, who had two, they took it seriously. Take what you have seriously and use it for the Lord, because he is going to judge you according to what you had. And he might surprise you and say, you had this, 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 and this ability. Well, really? I didn't know that. Well, you should have searched. You should have put yourself out there. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised if you put yourself out there, you'll find out, oh, I have some gifts. Yeah. If you don't do anything and you wait for, I don't know, some sort of miracle, some sort of push, some sort of, I don't know, then you might not ever find out what you have, right? Put yourself out there. One day I decided, when I went back to church, I went out with the brothers. They said, go, let's go evangelize. And they said, we're going to go street preaching. I said, oh, okay, I'll hand out tracts, you know, whatever. So I was like 1 week back in church, and I decided to go out with them. They said, hey, why don't you preach? I said, I don't know what. You guys are the ones who know the Bible. I mean, I just know John 3:16. They said, just preach that. So I got up. I started preaching John 3:16, and here I am a couple of years later preaching in front of a church. I mean, you'll be surprised when you put yourself out there. Some of you don't think I can sing, and I guess that's relative. That depends on... depends on what you're comparing me to. If you're comparing me to a professional, of course, but I know some people who really can't sing. Really can't sing. They can't hold a tone. And that was something I found out just by going and saying, you know what? The Lord is worthy. I wanna praise Him. So I started singing and I realized, wow, I can hold a note. Look at that. Put yourself out there, brother. That's how you're gonna find out what you have. The one talent. Now I want to get into this guy that had one talent. I feel for this guy. You know, in the past when I read this talent, this parable, I thought, man, this guy, what a fool, you know? And that's normally, and he is a fool, you know, I'm just saying. But when you read it real fast, you tend to easily identify with the good guys and just like bash the bad guys, you know, bash them so much so that you tend to think that you'll never be that bad guy. And that's the danger, right? That's where you've now walked away from humility. You're more like this one guy than you think. Think about it. You're handed one talent, right? You don't have five. You don't have two. If you have two, maybe I'll gamble with one, right? So let's try this out, see what happens. If it doesn't work, I got one more. The guy with five, man, he's rich. Let me see what's going on and let me put one here, one there, one there, and I'll keep one behind for security, right? This poor guy, he has one talent. You got one talent, spend it wisely. Like when you give your kids, you know, $1, spend it wisely, and they usually don't, but man, and I just got to thinking, one talent, it's like you have one life, right? You only got one life. You only got a limited amount of time. You only got a limited amount of time within that limited amount of time where you're conscious and you're healthy and strong, right? You can't do much for God when you're 10 months old, right? You know, you're just, gimme, 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 I need milk, I need to sleep, I just pooped. And I've experienced that 4 times. So you get to a place where you're conscious, and most of us don't wake up. I mean, I know I didn't wake up spiritually and say, you know what, I gotta do something for God, I gotta give my life to God until I was 21 years old. 21 years late. Right? I wish I was like Josiah, 8 years old. Yeah. Boom. Taking God seriously.
Yeah.
21. And then how many years do I got until I start to get sick, until I start to hurt all over, until I lose my mind? I mean, there's all sorts of things that can happen. Yeah. Our time is very short. And you have something, but it's precious. And it's hard to invest it into something all in because you might lose it. You might fail. You might go to the mission field, amen, and then die in the first year. How many times has that happened in the history of missions? It's scary. This guy with one talent, I can identify with him. It's like, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to disappoint. I don't want to be ashamed. I spend it and then that's it. No more. It's true. You spend your life on serving Christ. You know, it's by faith. I don't know about you, but Christ hasn't appeared to me physically and commissioned me. I believe. I believe the scriptures. I'm convinced by the scriptures. I believe that He died and He rose again. I believe that there's coming a kingdom. I believe Christ is coming back. I believe what I do is worth something over there, even though it's worth almost nothing here.
Yeah.
I believe these things, but it's risky. It's a risk. I'm investing my life in Puebla, Mexico.
Amen.
There's some good jobs in New York, man. Every time I get around them, I talk and I feel, man, that could have been me. That's pretty cool. Man, those some pensions. Maybe I could have just did that and then retired and gone to the mission field. Maybe. holding back, you know, maybe that talent, I could have just reserved it in the napkin, put it in the, I don't know. It's risky. Listen, serving God is by faith. It's something scary. It's something you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And maybe you're not going to see everybody smiling and waving at you and handing over to you their opportunities or helping you out. Maybe you're going to get robbed. Maybe you're going to get rejected, even maybe by your own brethren sometimes. It's hard. It's difficult. This one guy, he says, I was scared. You're an austere man. I don't want to disappoint. I don't want to, you know, spend it wrong. And they're talking about trading here. And he says, if I trade wrong, I'm going to lose out big time. Then I'm going to show up with nothing. So I'm going to be wise about this. And at least I'm going to save this one talent. And when it's time, at least I didn't lose the talent, right? That sounds like a pretty reasonable argument over here on earth. If you're thinking about it logically, I can make a mistake and be real risk taker and be dumb and foolish, unwise, and lose my talent, show up, and man, that's going to be horrible for me. Horrible. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be right in the middle. I'm not going to spend it, not going to be risky. I'm just going to save it, and at least I got something to give back. I can give him back the talent, and then we're like even, right? Me and the Lord are like, we're even. How many arguments can you make to excuse yourself out of taking a risk for God, taking a step of faith, serving the Lord? Oh, we can bring up real good arguments, wise arguments, and it sounds wise. And the guys around you, even Christians, yeah, that sounds good.
That's right.
We're behind you. That's smart. That's wise. But you know deep down, somewhere in there, you're not using what God gave you. You're not being wise. This one servant, man, he had his arguments, and he was surprised when he got to the judgment. I think we need to take very seriously our decisions in serving the Lord. Very seriously, our excuses in serving the Lord. One of the things that the Lord tells him when he comes back, because he says, I was scared, you're an austere man. He says, you could have did at least put your money to the exchangers. He told the others went and traded, right? And then at the end, he says, you could have just put it in the bank and won interest. At least maybe you wouldn't have doubled your talent. Maybe you would have got half of a talent back, 25% of a talent. But at least you would have did something, right? Maybe you didn't do it like them. Maybe you didn't do it according to the ability that you had, right? You didn't use your talent. You didn't use your abilities, your gifts, the best you could have. You messed up. You made some dumb mistakes. Okay. But at least do something, right? Doing something is better than doing nothing. Doing something is better than holding the talent behind. Do something, try something. And I think that's part of the exhortation at the end. You could have, the Lord says, you could have just putting your money with the exchangers. That's like brainless activity. You just put your money in the bank and there's some interest. You could just wait and let it come back. Maybe it's not as much as you would want. Maybe it's not as much as I would want, but at least it's better than nothing. I think another thing that's important that often we get wrong in these parables is the talent is not something small. It's not something little. A talent, if we're talking about a talent of gold, or let's be conservative, a talent of silver is worth years of wages. Years of wages. Okay? So I think it's a little bit, you know, the passage isn't deceiving, but because of the time we live in, sometimes we read it and like, oh, one talent, poor guy. One talent's more than you think. The estimates are if it was gold, it was 15 to 20 years of wages. One talent. That's pretty significant. God didn't say talent for no reason. He didn't just say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, let me put talent in there and doesn't matter. No, talent, there's a reason why that's in that parable. It's a significant amount of money. In our day and age, it'd be worth millions. One talent. So when we look at it in the perspective of the Lord now, He's looking at this servant. There is no excuse to be like, well, I didn't have much. I don't have much gift. I don't, you know, I grew up in a single parent home. I didn't have much money. I wasn't, you know, my church didn't have, it wasn't like that church. And I don't know what it is, your excuse is. I don't know what it is, but obviously this servant did wrong. He didn't just overlook something small that he had. He overlooked a massive amount of opportunity. And I think that's what we have. I think the very least, if some of us have one talent, it's still a significant amount. Amen. The least of us, the least talented, the least gifted here in this crowd has a lot to offer to God. I think that's the point. He says one talent, sounds like a little bit, but you weren't there in that time. Any Jew reading this would have said, one talent's a lot of stuff. Solomon had like hundreds of thousands of talents. He was the richest man in the world. What you have is a lot. I'll tell you what, if you were someone who was paralyzed from the waist down, you still have something very valuable to offer to God. You, in comparison to the smartest animal on this planet, I think it's like the sparrow or something. I'm not exactly sure, but a sparrow has the intelligence of like a 4 or 5 year old. They can maybe deceive. They can do simple tasks. But us, I mean, we're sitting here. I don't have much. Really? You can do a lot for God. You can. You have your hands and your feet. You have your senses, your 5 senses. You're all there. Man, you could do a lot for God. You might not be able to sing as great. You might not be able to preach as great. But man, you can do a lot. You got a talent. Also, pounds were about 3 years' wages. 1 pound was like 3 years' wages. Imagine if I said, here you go, here's $2 million, do something with it. And you didn't do anything with it? I'm gonna give you $2 million, but my only requirement is you need to bring me back something from it. You can't just spend it on, you know, Dr. Pepper and tacos. Do something with it. Okay, that's a responsibility. God gave you life. God gave most of you 2 legs to walk. God gave most of you 2 eyes. Most of us can see, right? Most of us can hear. Most of us can yell. So you got something very valuable to give back to God. You got a real big responsibility to be a profitable servant. Finally, my final point is, many times in the parables, God likes to give you sort of the worst example to show you how great He is. For example, He says, if your earthly father knows how to give you good gifts, how much more your Father in heaven, right? He gives you like a low example, right? The servant, the deceiving servant of, where he negotiates with his Lord's, clients, and he says, you owe 100, give me 75, and you owe this, give me this, and one of the points of that parable is that if a crummy, deceptive servant can be profitable for his Lord, how much more the sons, the children of light? Exactly. Right? The sons of this world, the sons of darkness, the deceivers, the liars, they are profitable for their lords, for their businesses. And how much more you, the sons of light, the sons that have the Holy Spirit, how much more should you be profitable? And so here you have these servants with these talents, and you have this Lord who's an austere and a hard man, and he demands things where he did not sow and where he did not straw, you know. And he says, you know, you are a hard man, and this is why I didn't do things for you. But in this case, right, the Lord, yes, he's just, and he's gonna judge us exactly according to what we did. But the Lord is not exactly an austere man, a hard man who only is asks for profit from places that he didn't seed, that he didn't straw. The Lord gave you life. The Lord gave us everything that we need. Everything that we need. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, a good church. He gave us everything that we need. We have the seed. We don't need to make up the seed. We don't need to find material and do, the Lord didn't just drop us on this earth and say, do something for me and I'll see how it is at the end. No, he gave us all the tools, the armor of God, the Holy Spirit, everything that we need. And he says, now with this, please bring me back something.
Yeah.
So if these servants can work with this austere, hard man and bring him back something, this man that it says nothing about compassion, it says nothing about mercy, it says nothing about wisdom, it just says he's hard and austere. If in this parable they can be profitable servants to him, how much more you who have the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Comforter?
Yes.
He's a good Lord. He's good to us. We owe him. We owe him more than what they brought him in these parables. These parables don't do justice to the Lord, who he is, and what he requires of us, and our responsibility as Christians. Amen?
Amen.